to John chapter 13, starting in verse 31. I have to be honest with you guys. Todd texted me yesterday evening and said, "Hey, just let you know I'm not feeling too well, so you might, you know, kind of study a little bit." And I have this idea of Todd of kind of being a superhero, how he's hardly ever sick. So I'm like, "Eh, he'll be good in the morning." Texting this morning, "Hey, how you feeling?" "Still sick. Not going to make it." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So usually I'm very prepared, and you'll see like six, seven full pieces of paper of notes for today. And here's what you got today, just half of a sheet. So what that means is I have a lot of notes so that I make sure that I don't allow just my mind to start speaking, because sometimes it gets crazy and I don't want anybody to think Nathan's a crazy guy. But that's not the case today. So I might throw some things at you like, "Whoa, that's crazy." And I apologize. So let's start with a reading from John chapter 13, verse 31. However, I'll just say this. I did hear my friend Glenn share an amen when I showed the size of notes. And people did ask me a couple of times, "So what's the message?" I said three words, short and sweet today. So, but usually that turns into a lie. But so if it did that, I apologize. Starting in verse 31, says, "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Instead of this being like a sermon, I told somebody it's just going to be like coffee talk with Nathan this morning, if that's okay. This would be easy just to say, "Okay, the message of the sermon is to go and love people. Let's pray." Since I am of the wise age of 32 and have so much experience in love and true love, I thought I would share with you some of my ideas, possibly crazy ideas, of where maybe I feel, and this is probably more of where I feel like Nathan needs to work on, of some things that it seems to be weakened when we talk about love in our culture today. Because we know that it's a lot more than just saying, "I love you." And I also believe that the idea of saying, I love you but don't like you, that's ridiculous. So we have to learn about maybe where we see some issues in love and the groups of people that Jesus is calling us to love. And so for the first one that I've got a couple here that I've wrote down. We live in this what I like to call a Facebook world, where if you're my friend on Facebook, I get to share with you only what I want to share with you. So you have a perception of me only based on what I want you to have a perception. You are thinking about me exactly what I want you to think about me. So I'm going to share about all of the nice, great things I do, and not necessarily of all the jerkish things that I do. Okay? So people, because of this, because of our social media and our technology and everything, you only have a skewed view of who I am. But there are those that do not have a skewed view of who I am. And those people are called my family. I always get kind of hassled by my wife when we're sharing in Sunday school or something, and she'll leave and she's like, "They think you are an angel." but I really know. And it's like, yes, I know you do. And because the reality is like I said, we want to give this perception of who we are to those who don't really know us to make them think that we're greater than we really are. And so I treat my customers or the people that I do business with in this specific way to acquire business and make them think that I'm this great person. And we do all these things, but when we get home, that's who we really are. That's the stuff that maybe we're not so excited about putting on Facebook. I have a friend. It's actually Ryan and Shelley's brother-in-law, who is a great singer, and they put a video on YouTube of the song, and it's from a guy named Eric Church that says, "She loves me like Jesus does." And that's when I think about my wife, is that she really, really knows me. She knows the stuff that no one else knows, the stuff that that I don't want anyone else to know, of all the selfishness and all of this. And she still chooses to love and forgive me the way that Jesus has chosen to. Do I hear any other guys? Oh, you're in the doghouse afterwards, I promise. So they really see who we are. And I think that is what is of utmost importance then. Then we are called to love them as Jesus loves us, as it says. So if instead of me giving this perception and being this wonderful person to everyone, why don't we do that for our family as well? And here's where I'm coming from. This is something that I wrestle with. When it comes to those who really know you, the family members that see us for who we are, one of the things that I see, and maybe it's just my age of people, I'm all about, if you know me, you know I'm all about new technology. You know that there's nothing better for me to be able to now do emailing while I'm on the golf course. It is awesome. You're working, huh? Yeah, sure I am. You bet. So all this new technology, this accessibility to the online world is great. It has pushed us in advancements in our culture in so many ways. But I am here to tell you from experience that I really believe it has caused a big hindrance in our family life. I really do. Because we're able to access all this online stuff 24 hours a day. And so that means even when we're home, we're not home. And that for me, I believe that one of the most important things that I can do to share and show the love that Jesus has for me and for them and for me to love as Jesus loved my family, it is a word that we say presence. And I don't mean P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Although some flowers every once in a while will do wonders, guys. I mean P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Presence. Really, really being there when you're there. There is nothing more important for you to show your love than actually, you know, I see this and I do it as well. All the time when you're at a restaurant or whatever and you got all the kids, you know, playing and talking and doing this and the moms and dads are right here. Yeah. They've got no clue what their children are even saying. That is a hindrance in loving them as Jesus loved us. By showing them that they are the most important thing that is going on right now. And we as a culture, I as an individual follower of Jesus, that is a hindrance from loving my spouse and my family as Jesus loves me. And so that is something that I see that is important for us. If we want to, when we are with those who see us and know us more than anyone else, If we want to love them as Jesus loves us, then put the cell phone down. And be aware and present when you're there. Because we must remember that our children is going to love their children the way that they see us love them. Sometimes that's scary. So we must make an effort to love them as Jesus loved them by being present with them, by sharing life with them. There was yesterday, which is one of the few occasions that I don't have some event that I'm helping put together or some thing going on Saturday, and my wife was gone, and so it was just me and Hogan, and so we went and threw the baseball around for hours, and we went caught the ice cream van that was driving around. I didn't even know they still had those around. All of a sudden, we're playing catch, and we hear this, like, what in the world? So we go get some ice cream. We go hit the golf balls at the golf course. We do everything. And the thing about it is when I got done that day, I'm telling you this as a story because it don't happen. So don't think, oh, what a great. This doesn't happen very often. I thought, I have not even checked my phone. And it was such a rewarding day. Such a rewarding day. Now, I'm not saying if you have to check your phone for business or whatever. I'm just saying when we're with our children, when we're with our grandchildren, when we're with those who we say matter, let's show them that they matter. By saying this little piece of technology is not near as important as you are. That can wait. There's my rant for that one. The second one, which you would think would be easy, but it's one of the hardest. When we talk about loving one another as Jesus has loved us, to prove that you are my disciple. So he's saying to his disciples, to those who follow him, love one another so that you can show the world. But for some reason, it seems like we have more difficulty loving one another in the terms of the circle of those who call themselves disciples than we do loving anyone else. Because here's why I believe that we have difficulty with that. Because we have chosen in our cultures to put belief in front of love. And so I say that to say, if Brad does not believe the same way I do, if he sees a few things the way following Jesus differently than I do, if he sees baptism different, if he sees Lord's Supper different, if he sees whatever he sees different, well, then we're different. We're separate. We cannot fellowship with each other. That has given a very skewed view of what following Jesus looks like to this world. That if you don't believe everything the way I believe it, I cannot love and serve together. We're different. We've got different denominations. And may I say this? God is not a Baptist. Sorry. Not a Baptist. He's not any of the other denominations. According to Scripture that I see, his intention was for all these denominations to not even exist. To us to love and serve God together as one family. But our pride and our intelligence got in the way of that. I'm a pretty simple-minded person, so maybe that's why I see it this way. I know there are things that we have to say, okay, this is not right, this is wrong. But a lot of the things that have caused these separations are not those things that we had to separate because of. And so then we have this idea, and we go a little bit further to say, God is not a Republican or a Democrat. You're like, whoa, there's a line. You just crossed it, Nate. Not even talking about denominations. There are people that I know, and possibly even people in this building, that will say, if you are a Democrat or if you are a Republican, you're probably not a Christian. Woo! That means you think you're God, and that's scary. That's scary. But we choose, instead of choosing to say, okay, you see it this way, let's talk about this, or let's agree to disagree on that. We decide to give them names. Give them inappropriate names of name calling and name bashing. Even though we might know that they say they're a follower of Jesus. What does that show the world? What does that show those who are desperate for community? Who are desperate for those to get along with each other and serve the world? What does that show them? It's showing them you got to find it somewhere else because you can't find it in here. I understand. God, Jesus had a spine. I believe that. Jesus, like, here's how, you know, these are things you have to stand for. These things you have to fight for. But a lot of things we choose to fight and separate for are not those things. And it does not give the world a very accurate view of what Jesus' intentions were for us. Because we choose to separate, not fellowship, not serve with those who might not see things exactly the way that we see things. I see that as something that we need to find ways to change that. We need to find those, whether it's someone in a different denomination, to say, let's figure out a way that we can serve our community together. Okay, no, we might not have our 1 hour during our Sunday mornings that we share together, but we're still called to serve the same God. We believe that Jesus is God, all of us do, and we believe that He has called us to go out and bless the world in Jesus' name. So let's do that together. Find ways to do that together. Let's do that. Let's have this idea of judgmentality, being this person that says, well, that's not right, I can't associate, put that to the side and say we're all called to be here for one reason, and that is to serve the world in the name of Jesus. And so we can put some of those things to the side. There's my other rant for the day. The third thing that I'm thinking about, as it's calling us to love as we have loved, been loved, to love as we have been loved from Jesus. I think of Acts chapter 11, which is another passage of our scripture, of our lectionary text this week, is Peter really wrestling with the idea that the gospel, the good news, salvation, is now available to those filthy Gentiles. Those people who are just completely God-forsaken, so we thought. There's no hope for them. And so God gives Peter these dreams. And finally, by the end, he says, who am I? If God says they're welcome in His kingdom and in His family, they're welcome. That can be a pretty touchy subject. Because there are people in our lives, in our world, that we think, surely, God's not for them. Whether it means because they're full of hatred, or whether it means that they just have different, completely different lifestyles than we do. We think, surely, the goodness and grace of God is not for them. And so we kind of separate ourselves from them. We don't want to get near that. I'm all for loving you guys, even though it gets hard sometimes too. You say the same for me. It's okay. But we're really not going to do that. We're really not going to be accepting to that group of people. Man, I sure am glad that Jesus didn't decide that. I sure am glad that Jesus came to save the world. Not just us. I sure am glad that He says, my offering is for everyone. And so then what do we do with that? What do we do with that? If He says, you love one another as I loved you, I went to you. Jesus didn't have to come here. He was perfectly unpleasant. Living in the kingdom, doing whatever He wanted to. But because of His love and compassion for us, He came down here. He sought us. What does that do for us? What does that mean? He says, I want you to love one another as I love you. I think that means we go and seek them. We go and do things to make them feel welcome here. To make them and share with them and show them that God's love and God's mercy has no boundaries. That it is available to anyone and everyone. But that means there is this area that we call a comfort zone and we have to get out of it. We have to be willing to go and be friends with those that maybe for all of our life have been told don't be friends with them. Sorry. I didn't write that. Jesus did. Jesus said it. And that's uncomfortable. And here's why. Here's why I share all of these things. In Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, this was another passage from the lectionary text. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Revelation is sharing with us a picture of what it might look like when God finally claims His kingdom once and for all. That everything will be made new. Everything will be made right. Everything will be made the way that God intended it from the beginning. And then we kind of came and got it all messed up. That He's saying there will be no sorrow. There will be no unacceptance. There will be no judgment personalities or attitudes. There will be none of this stuff. For once and for all, when Jesus comes and claims His kingdom for good, love will reign. And so we, as His followers, we get the opportunity to show the world what that looks like here and now. We get to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And by doing that, we get to show the world that we're His disciples, that we're following Him, that there is a better way. But Nathan Streber has a long way to go to be able to love as Jesus loved. And I think one of the things that is important for us to understand, to be willing to do that, to be willing to come out of our comfort zone and love our family by showing them love, all of those who might disagree with us, love those who no one else wants to love. The reason that I can do that is because I understand that I have been completely accepted and loved by God as I am. So you want to be mad at me for me loving them? I don't care, I'm already accepted by God. You want to think that I'm a crazy person because I'm willing to share life with these people? I don't care. I've been accepted and loved by God. It doesn't matter what you think of me anymore. Because I truly know my value, and my value is in Jesus. And His decision to come to show us what this looks like. You see, He's showing us what this looks like through Him living on earth. Through all the religious people saying, Jesus, how dare you hang out with those people? He's showing us what love means. That love has no boundaries. That love is for everyone. And we get to do that no matter if people are upset with us or not. We get to share that because we have been loved and accepted by God through Jesus. And that's a freeing feeling that I no longer have to focus and do everything based on what other people think about me. I can be who I am and who Jesus wants me to be. Why? Because He already took care of everything else through the cross and the resurrection. Already took care of it. And because of that, now I get to live here and show the world what it really means to be a follower of Jesus by loving all unconditionally. By loving those who love me, by loving those who don't love me. By serving those who serve me and are nice to me, by serving those who just take me for granted. I get that opportunity. Why? Because Jesus has already done what is needed to be done. And I get to go show that with the world. We get that opportunity. Not, I have to do that. No. If you've tasted the goodness, as it says, Paul, if you've tasted the goodness of Christ, you get to do that. You get to give that to the world. You get to love unconditionally. Man, that's awesome. But hard at the same time. Because we have to put some of these preconceived ideas of that person not being accepted by God to the side and say, that God loves them too, just as much as He loves me. And we get the opportunity to share that with those that we're involved with every day. Family, friends, those we work with. And those maybe we haven't met yet because we've been scared to get out of our comfort zone. We get the opportunity. The decision is just if we choose to do that. Will you stand with me, please? As Brad comes and plays, I just ask you just to bow your head and let's just think about these things, and you're more than welcome to come up to me afterwards and say I'm a wacko. I've been accepted by God. It doesn't matter. Just kidding. But let's just think about these things, and I want us to think about maybe first the idea that we shared about those who really know us for who we are, those who we spend so much time with, those who God has put into our family, our children, our spouse. Are you loving them the way Jesus loves us? Are you loving them unconditionally? If you say yes, then I would say great. But remember, I always think that one of the big things of proving that is, where am I spending all of my time? Am I present with them? Maybe we can come up with more ways to share and to show our family that we love and serve each other. And then one, we think about those, which is really hard, those who disagree with us. Those who might think we got it wrong, and we definitely think they got it wrong. What do we do with them? Do we just say, you got it wrong, I'm done, I'm not associating myself with you? Or do we say, let's show the world that we can disagree, but I can still love you, I can still serve you, with no aspect of judging in this? Jesus prayed numerous times that His church would be one. Let's show the reality of that here, even in our community. And may we do that with those who we might even agree or disagree with politically as well, because it gets touchy sometimes. May we just understand that just because Nathan believes this way doesn't mean it's right. But the number one thing that's right is that love wins. And I need to be willing to show anyone and everyone that love wins. And there are a lot of people out in our world that does not believe that love wins, or if they do, they do not believe that, they do not compare love and Jesus together, because they